Before we begin today's show, we'll talk a lot about basketball's return plan, but of course, many other sports are trying to figure it out themselves, including baseball. On Wednesday, players reported back to spring training 2.0, or summer camp as they're calling it. And on Wednesday's ESPN Daily, Major League Baseball reporter Jesse Rogers talks to Mina Kimes all about that return and what fans can expect once the season gets going later this month. That's ESPN Daily, and you can subscribe and download it wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, leave the Hoop Collective a review. We'd love to hear from you. Hello, and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. We're doing that here on Wednesday night, recording this with Jackie McMullen in Boston. Or are you in New Hampshire, Jackie?
I'm in Boston. I am hoping to go to New Hampshire very, very, very soon.
Right.
Where so I will quarantine and be safe.
Okay. Yes. Jackie, I think the plan is you will not be with us next week because you will be enjoying a little R&R, hopefully.
Right.
And joining us from Dallas, Texas, went to high school. Did you go to high school in New Hampshire? You went to high school in Maine.
In Maine.
Maine. Is Ben McMahon. Currently banned from much of New England.
No, I'm welcome in New England.
Oh, okay, good. That's good.
Left on good terms.
So, a lot of teams started speaking to the media in the last 2 days, and it's even though it's all been a lot of it's been virus and bubble related, at least we've had some semblance of starting to focus on basketball. The teams are going to start leaving a week from today. So our Wednesday was when we're doing this. So next Wednesday, teams are going to start flying to Orlando. So we are really getting close now. But I have to say that one of the things that is kind of got my eyebrow up is what's going on in Indiana with Victor Oladipo. So Oladipo spoke with the media on Wednesday where he explained that he's, still on the fence about going to Orlando, which, you know, a lot of guys are, because it's, you know, it's a heavy commitment. But Oladipo has sort of talked sort of strangely a little bit about it, in my view. He said that, you know, and I'm sort of summarizing here because he had some long quotes. He says, you know, they think I'm in good shape, but I'm still recovering from my injury and I'm a little bit worried about getting hurt. And I was like, they? I mean, is he referring to the Pacers? That was a little interesting to me. And also, Kevin Pritchard, the team president, spoke this week and he said that he hasn't seen Oladipo look better since his injury. He looks as good as he has since the injury, while admitting they're not playing, you know, full basketball yet. But that was, Jackie, that was the Oladipo thing. Maybe it's just him worried about another injury, but something's going on there. My Doppler is up on what's going on there.
Well, see, I guess I'm not as bothered by it as you. And I talked to somebody today. We were talking about the whole asterisk thing, you know, and this guy said to me, well, it's not an asterisk because it's a completely different season. That's the way he was looking at it. So in other words, like whatever happens in this bubble, it's not 2019 as far as he's concerned. It's like its own mini 2020 season. So if I look at it that way, Oladipo wasn't back that long. And he was still working his way back in. And think about Steph Curry. I was told unequivocally by people at Golden State that if Golden State came back, they weren't going to let Steph Curry set foot on the floor.
That's apples to oranges because the Warriors were eliminated from the playoffs already.
Okay, but it's not because you're not supposed to worry about that, Brian. You're supposed to be worried about, first and foremost, the health and future health of your player. And the reason they were worried about Steph Curry is because they didn't feel he had played enough to come back. So Oladipo, I don't have it in front of me. Can someone tell me how many games he played?
He played about 14, and he looked.
Yeah.
He did not look good in most.
No,
of them.
He did not. You So if I'm Victor Oladipo, I'm doing the exact same thing. And if I'm the Pacers, I'm not even worried that he's doing this.
Well, that's what they've said. They're not pressuring him.
Yeah, and Brian, the thing is, you can't even look at it from a physical standpoint. You have to look at it from a mental standpoint. We've heard this over and over again from players who have had serious injuries, how long it takes to recover mentally. It's almost twice as long as it takes to recover physically. So if you're not feeling confident mentally, then how are you possibly going to perform to the highest of your ability physically? And then add the fact that you've had a long layoff. And by the way, so has everybody else. To me, it's a blinking red light. And if I were Victor Oladipo, I wouldn't play either. How's that?
Let me read the exact quote now that I have it in front of me. They're sure I feel better. As in, they are sure I feel better. But at the same time, we've had extensive period of time off. And to go back and ramp things up again, I'm susceptible to injury more than anyone.
He is.
I mean, he's 17 months off the injury.
I don't care. Listen, I was around to watch Gordon Hayward all last year. And there was nothing physically wrong with him except for a little tweak here, a little tweak there, which I guarantee you is the same that's true with Victor Oladipo. Because anyone who has a catastrophic injury like that does not come back completely the same. Sorry, just doesn't happen. And even as you're working through your rehab, things happen. And I watched Gordon Hayward, and he tried, but mentally, it took him a really long time to get over the hurdle. Some would argue he still hasn't. I think he has. And Paul George, it wasn't as obvious, but the same thing. And I think that's what's at work here. And I don't blame Victor Oladipo one bit. I don't.
Okay. Then let me read Pritchard's quote. I don't think I've seen him in better shape than I've seen him today in a long time. I think he's taking his time to staircase himself up physically and mentally. I've been impressed from what I've seen out of him. All I'm going to ask is this. It is not my leg. I have no clue how Victor's feeling. Everything that you're saying, Jackie, is square. I totally believe it. I'm not debating any of it. If you're the Indiana Pacers, do you offer Victor Oladipo a contract extension this offseason?
Yes, I do.
No, I do. Absolutely not.
I do. It's a small market team that can't draw major stars. We've seen it over and over again. Paul George blew his way out of there. If Victor Oladipo needs some time to get back to where he was, I'm giving him that time, knowing I'm not going to be able to attract a premier free agent.
How can you? Okay, he's got a year left.
Well, we didn't talk about how much I'm going to offer him, by the way. I may point that out.
Okay, if you want a low ball, but, man, you can't offer. Like, first of all, he's got a year left on his contract. It's not like it's a use him or sign him or lose him situation right now. You will still have bird rights after next season. I'm not offering him a contract.
If you don't extend him, you know, you're pretty much – if you're not offering him extension, you're pretty much admitting that's it.
No, you're not. Not under these circumstances. Vic, we love you. You're concerned about your health, and you know what? We have similar concerns. We definitely want to keep you, but you know, let's go into next season and see how things go.
Let's do a Joel Embiid contract, heavy on incentives that all have to do with playing time and play and ability to play. I'm just telling you, this is not a big market team. You guys name the last big free agent that willingly went to play for the Indiana Pacers.
David West, but it was like he was coming off of Achilles. I mean,
okay. And I love David West, but I rest my case. And I love David West. One of the toughest guys. He was a great, and everybody wanted David West on their team. In fact, the Celtics that year were very disappointed because they thought he was coming to them. But David West, with all due respect, and I just told you I how much I do respect David West, he's not a major free agent, Brian.
Right, but the worst thing a small market team can do is pay a guy just because they can, and especially when he's coming off major injury. And look, I'm not saying it's a different situation, but the Grizzlies threw a max contract at Chandler Parsons because they'd never gotten a big-name free agent. He was willing to sign the da-da-da. His knees were shot. if Oladipo was shot fit, and he's had a better career than Parsons to that point, so it's not a perfect comparison. But my point is, a small market team paying big money for a guy who might be physically damaged to the point where he'll never be what he's been before.
Do we have evidence of that? Do we have evidence of that?
No, we don't. Okay. But we've got reason for concern.
There's something off here because he's either not healthy after 17 months or he thinks one thing and the team thinks another.
Well, how about this? How about the idea that you want me to come back and play in Orlando? How about if you extend me? Why don't you promise me you'll extend me and then I'll come back? I don't know if this happened. This is pure.
Well, here's the other thing about the Pacers. In 2 years, they have Malcolm Brogdon on their books for $22 million, Miles Turner on their books for $18 million, Domantas Sabonis on their books for $18.5 million, and TJ Warren on their books for $13 million. They have the 29th highest payroll right now. They're never going to be in the top 17. You know, that's just the way they operate. I find it doubtful that all of those guys are going to stay on the roster. Some people believe that, you know, it'll either be Turner or Sabonis, right, you know, who is moved. I'm just saying something's not right here. And they got to make it, you know, they're going to have to make a decision on whether to offer Oladipo or not. He's got 1 year at $21 million left.
But to stop a season for 3.5 months and then start up again? Come on, man. That's a lot to ask. I'm sorry. It just is.
I'm not doubting that, but I'm just saying if that's the case, if he's still so concerned, I wonder if the Pacers are concerned too, you know?
Well, they can be concerned, but if it's a matter of getting over the mental hurdle of a grisly injury, I think we've seen this before, and it takes time, and you need to be patient. And I'm not sure that coming back after this situation, I'm not sure it is the best thing for someone who had a major injury and really didn't have enough time to work his way back into the kind of shape you need to be in to play. And now you're going to ask him to come back in short order, play 8 games and be ready for playoff basketball. That's just a big ask. I really think it is.
All right.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So we have another player who said he's on the fence, and that's Bradley Beal.
Right.
He just flat out said he's unsure. Now, Washington, John Wall is not playing, still rehabbing from Achilles. That's makes perfect sense. And Davis Bertans has announced that he is not going to play. He's worried about free agency, and the team supports him. So if Bradley Beal, considering all that, considering two of their other best players aren't going to play, I could see why Bradley Beal's like, you know, we're in ninth place. We're 5.5 back of Orlando in eighth, or 6 back of Brooklyn in seventh. You know, Bradley Beal's one of our most valued players. He's had some injuries in the past. I can totally understand why they would be like, yeah, I don't think that we need to do that. However, the New Jersey Nets have been decimated by injury, and now, unfortunately, COVID infections. And also Wilson Chandler just decided not to play. They're way down in terms of their top guys. And yes, they're 6 games back at Brooklyn. They don't have to catch them. They have to make up 2 games. They make up 2 games. They get within 4, and it triggers a play-in tournament, and you get a chance to play in. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Washington Wizards should sell their soul to try to make a playoff through a play-in tournament. But their circumstances and their outlook has changed in the last few days because of what's happened to the Nets. And I will say, I mean, like, look, are we either going to play this? We're either going to be competitive and play this for real, or we're not.
You know what I'm saying? That's not true either.
It isn't true. It's half and half.
Let's not act like the last couple weeks of the season is an all in competitive situation on a consistent basis. Now,
They're not in 14th place. They're in 9th place. They need to make up 2 games over 8.
Cool. They can get swept by the Bucks. Great. Awesome.
Okay. Well, then why go at all? Why have Rui Hachimura go?
They don't have a choice.
Yeah. You know why they're going? They're going so teams can satisfy their local TV contracts. That's the only reason the Wizards are going. That's the only reason the Suns, the Spurs. Yeah, I mean, I guess the Kings really think they can make the playoffs for the first time since 1908, but, I mean, come on.
I'm sorry. I need to jump in and call shenanigans on Tim McMahon. What's the point of young teams trying to make the playoffs? Isn't it all about playoff experience? You got to get reps. It's a different kind of environment. If you
are the Wizards are a young team now?
They have Hachimura. They have... Troy Brown, like those are young pieces.
Mo Wagner.
Oh God. Okay. Well, I mean, like the point is
Mo Wagner had a good year this year.
The point is for all of these teams that are on the outside trying to get in, isn't that explicitly the point? It doesn't matter if they get swept by the Bucks or not. They're looking for a specific
right. But this, Andrew, that is a good point for sure. But this is a different environment. This is a different environment that feels a little murkier every day. I actually had someone tell me today they think this whole thing is starting to hang by a thread. Now, I think it's going to happen. I mean, Adam Silver's comments were pretty clear in the Time 100 interview that he did. They're full steam ahead, knowing full well that it may not turn out the way they want. And every day there's another player, Cephalosha's out now. I think there'll be more. And so I don't think we can look at this, whatever this is, I don't think we can compare it to any other situation. It's unprecedented. And we're absolutely ignoring, by the way, during this entire conversation so far, the very big elephant in the room, which is COVID-19 and the possibility of contracting that and the possibility of exposing your family to it if you decide to bring your family into the bubble. We haven't even talked about that yet.
By the way, did you see FC Dallas, the soccer team, had 6 players test positive that tested negative before they left here? Now, right. I don't know when they contracted it, but
look,
exactly a great sign.
I'm going to say, me personally, I have said this many times. I've said it on national television. I probably have said it on this pod. I can't remember. I would have waited until the fall and played the 2 seasons on top of each other, played all playoffs and then played the 2 seasons on top of each other because I'm concerned about it. I think it's a very concerning situation, but the reality is from Adam Silver's lips, which he has said multiple times, including in the Time magazine interview this week, we have to learn to live with the virus. That is the NBA's position that they are taking. The NBA Players Union agreed to that position. And yes, it was a decision based on money, but that is the position that they agreed to. Certainly every player can make his own choice, but look, you're either going to do this or you're not. And by the way, if the answer is you're not, fine, don't do it. But, you know, this is what I'm saying. Like, the Wizards have a chance to make the playoffs. If they don't want to do it, then don't do it. But, I mean, it's imperative for me to point out that they have that opportunity. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons why Bradley Beal is undecided. I think if he didn't care and it meant nothing, he probably would have already opted out.
Right. He's a competitor. I mean, I talked to him, as you guys know, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And even then, he had some ambivalence because he was worried about, you know, minutes, injury, coming back, the COVID, all of those things were running through his mind when I spoke to him a few weeks ago. Now, as we get closer and closer to this report date, and the numbers in Florida continue to spike. And, you know, I mean, one of the great ironies of this whole thing is, I was told some time back that when that there was originally a plan, you know this, Brian, for 30 teams. And the fact of the matter was they didn't think they had the space to manage it because they were expecting to open Disney World back up. And so they weren't going to be able to have the whole place at their disposal and all the hotel space. Well, you know, they have space now. things are going the wrong way in Florida. And I do think that's on people's minds. And so I do think it makes everybody stop and hesitate. Now, in the end, does it make Bradley Beal not go? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Only Bradley does. But it's understandable why everybody is publicly and privately grappling with these questions. Is it worth it? What are the risks? The answers are unanswerable because we don't know.
Well, and the thing about it is that because of that, Jackie, the deadlines keep shifting. First, it
exactly,
was,
exactly.
You gotta tell us by June 25th. No, that's a soft deadline. You really gotta tell us by July 1st. No, that's a soft deadline.
But they're smart to do that, don't you agree? I think.
No, I understand, but I'm saying that reflects this concern, and Adam is just barreling full steam ahead. Our bubble is going to be safe, he keeps saying, and he is barreling full steam ahead, and he has the players mostly have full support, and so that's what's happening, and that's what they've decided to do.
Well, and he has been completely inconsistent, too, and they're totally making this up as they go along, because the whole, and it sounded great in March, early April, whenever it was, when he first talked, you know, player safety is paramount.
The data, the one, that's the flag.
It's about the money, and you were hoping the numbers would go down. They are soaring now, and you're like, screw it. We're going to give it a shot. If we have to shut it down, we've got to shut it down, but we're going to do everything we can to get paid. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that it's something that I wouldn't do if I was in his seat. It's a tough seat to be in, but we can also acknowledge he was completely full of crap, and maybe not full of crap, but at least give me the fancy word, Pollyannish, early on.
I just think everything changes. I thought that one of the most interesting things of all the interviews today that was said was Dame Lillard, who said, man, you really think all 22 teams are going to follow the rules? I mean, because you and I, all three of us, five of us, we're all on the call today. We all know that. He's right. Because human nature has already told us that we have all broken the rules during this COVID-19, because human nature tells us we can't self-isolate for that period of time. Human nature tells us we need interaction with others. And Dame's dead on. Do you really believe that all 22 teams and everybody in their party, coaches, players, and everyone else included, is going to follow the letter of the law? Impossible. Mm. And he's right. It is impossible.
Well, here's another thing. Let's talk about making up as they go along, which, you know, we've talked about before. In the protocol, which by the time we get to like August 15th, we may laugh about the protocol because right. It may just be totally thrown into the nearest lake in Disney. In the protocol, and this was, I felt an important thing. They said if you are diagnosed, 14 days, no exercise. You know, I'm listening to, I think it was Nate McMillan. I can't remember if it was Nate McMillan or Kevin Pritchard. Talking about Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon tested positive, and they said, yeah, he's, you know, he's doing yoga, he's working out, you know, and there's a couple other guys who, they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, he's there, you know, he's working out, he's feeling good. And I'm like, wait a minute, what happened to the,
right,
like, look,
right.
Look, I want the guys just to be healthy. I'm not looking to be the tisk. They said 14 days, it's only been 12. Like, I, you know, whatever. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, like, we're not even there yet. And, like, that's the one thing. When that 14-day rule came out, and I'm talking to, like, general managers, you know the first thing they say. I don't know if they told you, you heard the same thing, either of you, but they were like, what happens if LeBron tests positive? Is he out for 14 days? I'm like, well, how – is he sick or is he asymptomatic? You know, I don't know. So I'm just saying, like, you know, they're not even in the bubble yet, and the rules are getting squishy. Even the most important rule at all, which is the protocol for dealing with somebody who gets the virus.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Yeah.
Now, McMahon, you know, I don't know how much you follow the FC Dallas thing. So the teams, the MLS teams arrived in Orlando. I think the FC Dallas arrived on the 27th. So they've been there maybe 5-6 days.
I just found out today they're FC Dallas and not the Dallas Burns, so I'm probably not the best expert on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the old school. Whenever they played the oh, never mind, I won't say anything.
That's a slight exaggeration, but I have not followed that closely, I'll be honest.
All right, well, I didn't know if it was burning up the airwaves in Dallas. It's unclear where those guys got sick because some of the players tested positive when they arrived in Orlando, meaning they arrived sick, meaning that they flew on the plane sick. And so it's possible that those other players didn't get sick in Orlando, but they came sick. Having said that, there hasn't even been a kicked ball yet in MLS, and already we have a penetration. So, and that's, you know, the hotel where they're staying at is a couple hundred yards from where eight of the teams are staying, the NBA teams are staying. So, you know, it's obviously we're going to play it by ear and we're going to go sort of minute to minute, day to day, like Jackie said. But, you know, that was certainly something that got passed around the league today. The FC Dallas made that statement, and I was getting texts from league executives going, look at this. And it's funny, you know, I don't know, Jackie, if you've talked to people, but it's like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld had that joke that he used to say where he said, like, when you're in the back of a taxi cab in New York City, like this guy's cutting in and out of traffic and, you know, you're looking at it like it's on TV. You're like, oh, this is interesting. You know, meanwhile, your life is in danger, but you're just like, eh, whatever. Mm. He had that great bit for that. But this is kind of what I get the impression like of these NBA teams. They're like, this is all terrible. Like, look at what's going on in Florida. Look at what's going on everywhere else. Look at here. Look at this. Look at that. You know, what about our coaches? What about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, okay, well, is there any doubt you're going to go? No, we're going.
Yeah. Well,
it's like
when you plan a wedding and then you realize, ah, oh, I don't want to do this, but it's too late. All the guests
Jackie,
are here.
That you just got real deep. I thought you were blissfully married for all these years.
No, I am. I'm just telling you that I was at a wedding and my husband took the groom aside and said, you don't have to do this. And he said, but it's tomorrow. And he shouldn't have. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, these things happen. You know what I mean? It feels a little bit to me like it's just, I didn't know
it
that.
It is like a wedding. You know what? That is a good comparison. It is like
because
a wedding.
All the guests are there and everything's paid for and everybody's looking at you and they're waiting for you to walk down the aisle. And I don't know. And so I think I told you last week on the pod that I had spoken with a couple of coaches that were just like, I don't really want to do this, but I have to go. I mean, imagine a coach. What coach could get away with saying, I'm not going?
Pop.
And that's the last thing Pop would ever do, I think. I mean, I haven't spoken to Pop, but he would never like abandon his team like that. Never.
We can agree to disagree, and I'm just going to say plays out.
Wait, you think he would?
I think it's harsh to say it's abandoning his team in these circumstances.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's I think how he would look at it. I'm not saying that at all.
I might
be wrong. I shouldn't speak for Pop.
If Pop looks at this situation and says, I am 71 years old, we'd go in there with an extremely slim chance of even being able to to play for the eight seed. Why put his life on the line to try to sneak into the playoffs as an eight seed? Hey, I'm going to give my coaching staff the opportunity to have to, run the show for the eight seeding games and see what happens. And,
that's not how Pop rolls.
It's
not how he rolls.
And you might be right, but if I'm in his shoes, that's the way I'm rolling on this.
Okay. But that's a whole different discussion. I'm just talking about this guy who, If that happens, I'll be stunned.
Well, look,
beyond stunned. I've known that guy a long time. I've known Pop a long time. And I can't even imagine that.
But frankly,
this is not about toughness. It's that, and if anybody would criticize him for that, that'd be insane.
No.
We don't know. What are his doctors telling him? If his doctors are saying, Pop, this is not a good idea for you, then there's no way he should go.
Yeah, but he's a healthy man. I mean,
it could be taken out of his hands.
71 years old.
It could be taken out of his hands because, you had a I don't know if you wrote a story about it. Or it was just a tweet.
No, he wrote a story about it. It was a good story.
Okay, just saw the tweet. You want to brief what Rick Carlisle told you, McMahon?
Yeah, so, and this was Rick on his little Zoom availability. Obviously, he's president of the Coaches Association. So I said, hey, what's the latest from the league in terms of, whether they're going to allow the over 65 coaches, assistants and head coaches, to be in the bubble to be on the bench. And Rick says that they have received assurances that coaches will not be excluded based on age alone. Now, all coaches, all staffers, all players, they will have to go through stringent medical screening. And if they're
that's in progress,
right? If they're red flagged based on that, then that's one thing. But what Rick has said is they will not be red flagged just because of age. It would have to be a medical, the medical screening would have to classify them as high risk. You can't just say, well, Alvin Gentry is 65, Mike D'Antoni is 69, Greg Popovich is 71, boom, they're off the list. Age alone won't be it. And then I asked D'Antoni about it. And I said, what have you heard from the league? He said crickets and laughed. And then he said maybe they're trying to call him, but he's not answering his phone. Kind of classic D'Antoni making a joke about it. But D'Antoni, he reiterated that he feels comfortable with it, that he does not think he will be red flagged based on, the feedback he's received from, I don't know if it's the team doctors, personal doctor, or both, but based on that medical feedback. And then he fully intends and expects to be coaching the Rockets from the bench as usual.
Well, again, according to the protocol, which there's already some cracks forming, your team physician has to say okay. Team physician can flag. This goes for players, too. I mean, as far as I know, there's been no players flagged, but, the guys aren't in Orlando yet. There's a panel, I believe, of three medical experts. I don't think they necessarily were termed doctors, although I assume that they are, that can review it. And then they have to say thumbs up, too. So,
But here's, they have to say thumbs up, too. But let's just play along. Let's say Coach X is told, you're not healthy enough, you can't come. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, that's why it's important for Carlisle and the league to say that it's not based on age alone, because then that would potentially open them up.
All right, but let's say this guy's 52 and he wants to play. He wants to go anyway. How do you stop him?
That's a good question. And
there is an answer to that. He signs the thickest waiver you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. So my point is, and so he signs a waiver and then what? Then he goes.
these medical experts aren't there by accident,
Yeah, but and so there's a big question about the medical experts, too. Are they independent medical experts?
Allegedly.
Because allegedly is right, because many of these coaches have their doubts.
Well, it's not like the league is trying to screw a team over if they.
No, I understand. I understand what they're trying to do, and it's admirable. But it's also problematic, just like everything else with this, Brian. I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong, but it's, so here's the other thing I was thinking about. And again, this is conjecture on my part, but we had this, when I was doing all my work on the research on mental health, one of the things that became a sticking point was that players did not want their owners and teams to know the extent of their mental health issues. They felt like that was confidential and the team shouldn't have the right to know that. Okay. They are right, but there was some pushback, some initial pushback. Now, same thing with the wearables. Many players feel like, I don't want to put one of those on. Suppose I have a heart condition. Now, suppose I have a heart condition that I'm controlling, on my own. I don't want my team to know about it. What if I'm a free agent? Then the whole league will know about that. I don't want mm-hmm. that. So just follow along with me. If we're going to do these stringent medical screenings ahead of this Orlando bubble, what if I have a heart condition that I've been managing and been playing very successfully in the NBA for a number of years? Then what? Then what happens? Oh, he has a medical, he has a heart condition.
Well, this is what Warren Legarry, D'Antoni's agent, told Woj, right? McMahon, he basically said, you know, if you say that he's susceptible, you potentially, if we're going to have to live with COVID.
No, he told me that in my story. That was my
story. Oh, this is your story, Jackie. I'm so sorry. Yeah, we talked about that.
People confuse Adrian and I all the time.
Can you just imagine in February, Jackie, when you or I were at the All-Star game, can you imagine if on July 1st, I told you we're going to do a podcast on July 1st? Of course we are. It's the first day of free agency. We're going to talk about Anthony Davis. Blah, blah. No, right. We're going to be talking about coaches' medical panels.
I'm just trying to set the scene for the fact that there's some privacy issues here on top of everything else.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
And that's the thing about this wearable. So I was reading a story about this guy on the PGA Tour who discovered that he... So your point is you don't want teams to have data that could be used against you, whether it's about your mental health or about your physical.
Right.
But I'm reading the story about this guy on the PGA Tour who he wears one... It's called Whoop. It's actually, I think several, you know, NBA players have worn it over the years. It's a wearable. It's a bracelet, you know, like any other thing. And he said he just knows because he's worn the bracelet for months that he, when he sleeps overnight, he takes 14 breaths a minute. And he woke up last week when he was at the tournament in Connecticut, and he didn't take 14 breaths overnight. He took 18 breaths a minute. And that information led him to say, I wonder if something's going on with my lungs, to let him get tested. He tested positive. He had tested a couple of days earlier and was negative. I don't know how often they're testing on the tour, but he was cleared to play. And I think he had actually played in one round, if I'm not mistaken. And so he pulled out. And then a couple other people who he had contact with also pulled out. But like that, like right there, like I'm not saying that all of this works, that there's huge evidence, but that is an anecdotal case where that bracelet told him something that couldn't be told to him by the testing. There was a gap and that bracelet caught it. If you read that story and you are involved with the NBA, you're saying, put on that ring, put on that bracelet, you know? But as you said, it's a very legitimate reason why somebody would not want people to know and to have access. And they could say to you, oh, no, we're not going to know, you know, that you land a little harder on your left foot than your right and have an 11% increase of a torn ACL. Like, but how do you know that? I mean, that's the thing.
And you know as well as I do that it's so interesting when you talk to coaches, especially because in today's NBA, you have 3,000 people working for your team. And very often when you talk to coaches about it, those people are actually at odds with what should be going on with your player. If you have a player who's in a slump, for instance, there's the old school strength and conditioning guys that say, you got to work, get him in the weight room. He's got to be more conditioned. He's got to be better conditioned. He's weak. And then you have the new guys, the new mental health guys, and some of the other, what do you call them, soft tissue guys that say, no, he needs a couple days off. Very well paid, very, very skilled in what they do, but they're giving you conflicting data based on what their background is. It's complicated.
Man, just want to play basketball.
Yeah, right.
But this is, I know it's tough. We just can't get there. I don't know. We're a month away. We're 29 days away or whatever it is. And I think if we get there and the bubble gets established, I think this has got a real chance, but it's every single day is a new thing pops up and we're not even close yet. They're not even in Orlando yet. But I will say this, a couple of teams, I think Brett Brown said this today, that Philly, everybody tested negative. And they're in, and they're okay, and they're going to be protected, and everybody's healthy. Ben Simmons declared he's 100%, and in theory, they are headed to the bubble 100%. You know, like, we focus on the concerning places, but there's positives out there. There's people that have done this, and look, in European soccer, the bubbles are holding. In China, the bubble is holding.
Or so we think.
Well,
I'm such a doomsday person. Sorry, I'll be better.
You think the rules are draconian? I think it was Dame who talked about. She should see the rules for the Chinese league. Those folks are not. They're literally not allowed to leave their hotel room. They're only allowed to leave their hotel room to go to the gym. That's it. No players' lounge for the CBA. But it is interesting that the players, like, I know that a lot of people have gotten focused on this this tip line, you know, this, what was the snitch line or whatever.
Love that.
But the players, numerous players, are voicing concern not about the cases in Florida, although certainly that is a concern. They're concerned about their fellow players. They don't trust their fellow players. And I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate them saying that this is going to be a real challenge. So,
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
All right, who of us would sneak out? Let's just be real. So we got a group of NBA reporters.
Okay, well now, see, come on now, Wendy. That's unnecessary. Why are you going to throw me out there?
You're denying that you would be the most likely? I'm a rule follower. I give fun of
you,
my whole life.
You're in bed by, yeah, like, you, there's no question. You, I mean, of us three, okay, fine. I'll take that hit.
A younger me may have joined you, McMahon. A younger me would have been putting the ruler in the window as you climbed through.
it would be back, like, to my my high school days, and I just sneak out my second-story window.
So my kids, I just found this out. Your kids aren't old enough yet. My son just informed me the other night over a glass of something, which is just a whole trip and a half when you get to have cocktails with your kids, that he used to sneak out. He would come in on the weekend. We'd be home. He'd say, oh, good night. We'd go to bed because he was home. So we're like, oh, thank goodness. Now we can go to bed. We'd go to bed, fall asleep, and he'd sneak back out. I feel so duped.
And get in a car and you wouldn't know that the car was gone?
Well, sometimes he'd walk to his friends, or sometimes there'd be a car waiting up the street. And oh, goodness, I'm a lousy parent. I thought I was a good one. What are you going to do?
Doug was, I thought he was such a good at shoes.
Oh, no, I never said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I learn a little more every day from my adult children.
I just don't know what the mechanics, you know, this is not like sneaking out the window. You know, you have to go through the hotel lobby. I don't know what the mechanics of sneaking out are going to be.
Is Rapunzel a Disney?
Oh, very good. Hey, remember Theo Epstein snuck out of Fenway Park in a gorilla suit, and it worked. That really happened.
I've never heard that story.
Oh yeah, he was trying. It was when he was leaving, and he didn't want to talk to the media, and he put on a gorilla suit and walked right past them all.
Why was a gorilla suit not something that took notice? Why would anybody just walk in a gorilla suit and be like, oh, that's just a gorilla over there?
I mean, who knows? It's Fenway Park. It's Boston. Things happen. That's a true story.
I never heard that. But, I mean, like, that. This is the stuff that we're really going to want. Because, so in the protocol, buried in there, and I haven't heard anything about this, buried in there is a provision that says that a documentary film crew employed by the union can come in. Now, I don't know if that crew is actually going to happen, if they're actually going to make that documentary. And if they do make the documentary, I wonder if that will be allowed or if it's all going to be, oh, this is, you know, we had Shirley Temples and Steak tonight, you know. But that's going to be the stories that come out afterward about the potential espionage. That will be amazing because
we'll get it's them not in like 25 years. You know, the next time there's a pandemic, apparently, like The Last Dance.
Right. But think about it. Think about it. I want to go out. I want to go out. And I've seen this security guard every night. He's there every night. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Good to see you, man. Yeah, good to see you. Here's 20 grand. Just look the other way. I'll be back in the morning.
I don't think it'll take 20 grand.
Well, whatever.
A lot less than that.
Here's a bottle of Sin Cara tequila and an autographed ball and tickets for side seats for 2025 or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think it's going to be
money talks. They're going to do the best they can. And I do agree with Adam. If you can just get everybody there and get them in this environment, I do agree that they have a much better chance of succeeding than if they're walking around their towns and cities and going to the grocery store and picking up napkins at Home Goods. I agree with
that. That's the other thing D'Antoni said. He's like, you're going to keep me out of a safe environment? Like, let me get the hell out of Houston and go to a bubble.
Right. Well, I think it's interesting that something that Adam said, and I'd love to ask a follow-up on this, but he said in that interview at Time, you know, they asked him a really good question. I applaud the interviewer for asking him, are you going to go to the bubble, Adam? And he said, I'll go in and out. I'll be there for a while. And he said, this was his quote, there's a back door that I can use.
What does that mean?
Exactly. So
they didn't ask? They didn't follow up? I missed that part of the interview. Wow.
Yes. Maybe I should find it and read it specifically to you to make sure that I have it right. But
he's going to be in the tier that allows him to go in and out. He's not going to be in the contact.
He's tier two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to read, Andrew, I assume that was correct, that he will be in tier two, but the way he said it was interesting.
Oh yeah, it was very vague, but
let me read it. Let me read exactly what he said. Here's a question from Sean Gregory from Time Magazine. Adam, will you be spending the entire restarted NBA season in the Orlando bubble? Adam, I will not. We have an arrangement there where I'll just call it a back door into the campus, where you can almost think of it as different tiers of protection, which is true. That makes total sense. We've all read about that. That the people immediately around the players, certainly anyone who is going to be playing, is going to be, or who's going to be on the court with them, or a referee, coach, or trainer, will follow a certain protocol in terms of daily testing and protection. We got that. That's the primary bubble, everything, we got that. But then there are a group of us who will be able to come into the community, get tested when we come into the community, but essentially remain far more than 10 feet away from the players, and therefore to become in and out. Okay, that's fine. That sounds like the secondary bubble, except for the secondary bubble, there isn't any testing.
Well, and they're not, and they're going to be a lot further away than 10 feet.
Right. So maybe he just misspoke. That's why I said, like, that's why I would like, I have a follow up. But I'm not sure. I'm sure Mike Bass, who is the senior vice president of PR for the league, or whatever his title is, high up in the league, I'm sure when he heard Adam say, I'll just call it a backdoor to campus, I'm sure that Bass grimaced, because I'm sure that, because the thing about it is, the players are sitting there saying, now, wait a minute. We're in this iron dome. We can't leave. Nobody can come see us. And you're going to come in and out through a back door. What are you talking about? A back door? Where's this back door?
I was going to say, they're trying.
How
to
do I get it. A key? How do I get a key?
The back door leads to a waiting Escalade. That's what I think is going to move around the Disney campus. All right. Well, thank you. Listen to Collective. We shall see where the next few days takes us. Jackie, thank you for everything, and I hope you enjoy some time with your family.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon. McMahon, this is the same. Thank you. Thank you to Andrew Hahn. I always appreciate when he comes in to challenge McMahon. Extra points for Andrew. And Troy Farkas back in Connecticut. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.